Exodus chapter 30, verse 1 through 10, and verses 34 through 38. This is the reading of God's word. Moreover, you shall make an altar as a place for burning incense. You shall make it of acacia wood. Its length shall be a cubit, and its width a cubit. It shall be square. And its height shall be 2 cubits, its horns shall be of 1 piece with it. You shall overlay it with pure gold, its top and its sides all around, and its horns. And you shall make a gold molding all around for it. You shall make 2 gold rings for it under its molding. You shall make them on its 2 side walls, on opposite sides. And they shall be holders for poles with which to carry it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put this altar in front of the veil that is near the Ark of the Testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is over the Ark of the Testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. He shall burn it every morning when he trims the lamps. When Aaron trims the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense. There shall be a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer any strange incense on this altar, or burnt offering, or meal offering, and you shall not pour out a drink offering on it. Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. He shall make atonement on it with the blood of the sin offering of atonement once a year throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. Verse 34. Then the Lord said to Moses, take for yourselves spices, stacte, and onycha, and galbum. Spices with pure frankincense, there shall be an equal part of each. With it you shall make incense, a perfume, the work of a perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. You shall beat some of it very fine, and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. The incense which you shall make, you shall not make in the same proportions for yourselves. It shall be holy to you for the Lord. Whoever shall make any like it to use as perfume shall be cut off from his people. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh, Father, left alone, we'll just hear some voices and it will not benefit us whatsoever. We pray that your Spirit will grant us an ear to hear, and that your Spirit will work in us. That when we hear your word, that our faith will grow. And that your people who are hearing will grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we pray that through your word, that we will have fellowship with you, that we will see clearly what your Son has done and accomplished for us. Let us give all the glory, honor, and thanksgiving. Oh, Father, we pray. You and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We saw in chapter 28 God's instructions on how to make the priestly garments. And in chapter 29, God's instructions on the ministry of the priests. After this, the book of Exodus returns to God's instructions on how to make the tabernacle and its furniture in chapter 30. Today we will look at God's instruction on how to make the altar of incense That is verses 1 through 10. And the incense they are to offer to God at that altar, and that is from verse 34 through 38. Let us remind ourselves that the tabernacle proper is made up of two rooms. The first room, the holies, and the second room, the Holy of Holies. And these two rooms are divided or separated with a curtain or a veil. In the holies, there are three furniture, as we already saw, as we enter the room from the east side. On our right side, golden table with the bread of the presence on it. And on our left side, golden lamp stand. And in right front of us, right before the veil, this altar of incense that we are looking at today. Verse 6 says, you shall put this altar in front of the veil, that is, near the Ark of the Testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is over the Ark of the Testimony, where I will meet with you. So, front of all that, but all those things are behind the curtain. They are to make the altar of incense as a place for burning incense. They are to make it with acacia wood, and its length is a cubit, and its width is a cubit. Thus it shall be a square, and its height is 2 cubits. Its horns must be of one piece with the altar. They are to overlay it with pure gold, its top, its size all around, and its horns. And they are to make a gold molding all around it. And verse 4 says, you shall make 2 gold rings for it under its molding. You shall make them on its 2 side walls, on opposite sides. And they shall be holder for poles with which to carry it. And they are to make those poles with acacia wood, and they are to overlay them with the gold. So it's pretty similar. We already saw this kind of stuff. So 2 rings on the sides, and they put the pole to carry that thing without touching it. Now in verses 34 and 35, we see the instructions on how to make the incense that they are to burn at their altar. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, take for yourselves stacte and anica and galbanum, spices with pure frankincense. There shall be an equal part of each. With it you shall make incense, a perfume, the work of a perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. So it is a holy incense. Thus, they must never make it for any other purpose than to offer it up to God. Verse 37b says, it shall be holy to you for the Lord. And verse 38 says, whoever shall make any like it to use as perfume, that person shall be cut off from his people, meaning they will be killed. Not only they must not make the incense for themselves, but also verse 9 says, you shall not offer any strange incense in this altar, or burn offering, or meal offering, and you shall not pour out a drink offering on it. When they offer up some strange incense that God did not command them to do so, they die. We see this in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who came near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored. So Aaron therefore kept silent. And Bible clearly tells us that only the priests are able to offer the incense. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 16 through 21, we read about a story, but when he, the king Uzziah, became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. He was a king, he was not a priest, and yet he did this. Then Azariah, the priest, entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They opposed Uzziah, the king, and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for the burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, beside the altar of incense. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house, being a leper, so he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. So only the priests are allowed to burn this incense. And in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 11 to 13, we learn that the incense, the smoke from the incense, was used for covering the Ark of the Testimony. In Leviticus 16, verse 11 to 13, we learn that the incense, the smoke from the incense, was used for covering the Ark of Testimony when the high priest enters in the Holy of Holies. Then Aaron shall offer the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and to make atonement for himself and for his household. And he shall slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. He shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire from upon the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. He shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the Ark of the Testimony. Otherwise, he will die. So he's not even able to look at the mercy seat because of this smoke. Without that smoke, he will die. Now, verses 7 and 8 says, Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. He shall burn it every morning when he trims the lamps. And Aaron trims the lamps at twilight. He shall burn incense. There shall be a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. They are to burn it every morning and also at twilight. And as we have already seen, no other incense and no other offerings on this altar of incense. And we read this in verse 10. Aaron shall make atonement on his horns once a year. He shall make atonement on it with the blood of the sin offering atonement once a year throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. Now then, question arises. What do the burning, the fragrant incense, and the smoke of the burning incense, and the fragrant aroma What do these things signify? What do these things mean? Well, Bible interprets the Bible. So we go to Psalm 141. Psalm 141 verse 2 gives us the answer. It says, "May my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering." So this burning incense, the smoke rises up. It points to our prayer. Revelation chapter 5 verse 8. Revelation chapter 5 verse 8 says, "When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and a golden bowls of full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." I mean, it's really clearly stated there. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and 4 says, "Another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand." Here we see that the incense is added to the prayers of the saints as they go up to God. Through these passages in Revelation, we are able to conclude that the incense symbolizes the prayers of the saints, but we also see that there is a need of mediation. What does all this show then? It shows that the tabernacle, the temple, the church is the house of prayer. We see this reality in the altar of incense. During the dedication of the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8, King Solomon talks about how God's people will pray towards the temple as they pray to God. Isaiah 56 verse 7 says, "Even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the people." Matthew chapter 21 verse 13, Jesus said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den." He was talking about the temple. The true temple is a house of prayer. So perpetual incense points to perpetual prayer. Through and by our Lord Jesus Christ, this reality has been accomplished. Thus, the Apostle Paul tells us, the true temple, pray without ceasing. We studied what is prayer and when we studied the Lord's Prayer, so I will not say much here. Prayer points to our fellowship with God. In Jesus Christ, the perpetual fellowship with God is our present reality. Perpetual prayer points to perpetual communication with God. A prayer is an act of acknowledging our inability. It is an act of acknowledging our lacking, our weakness, and our inability. It acknowledges that God is able. It acknowledges that we need the power of heaven, the power of God. That's why we pray. Thus, a person who does not pray is an arrogant person, because what he is saying is that I don't need God. He, by not praying, says, I don't need God. A person who prays is an honest person, because he understands who he is, how not able he is, and how much he needs God. Now the priests are to offer the incense every morning and every evening, right after the morning and evening sacrifices. The priests are to understand as they offer incense, they are to look back at what they just have done. Because it's right after sacrifice, bloody sacrifice, then he comes to the altar of incense and he burns the incense. So as he burns the incense, he needs to remind himself what he just have done. They are to understand and believe that they are sinners. They are to understand and believe that the people of God who they represent are also the sinners. They cannot come to God on their own merits. As they offer up the incense, then, they are to understand and believe that the fellowship with God that incense points to is only possible because of the sacrifice that points to the once and perfect, once and for all perfect sacrifice of the Messiah. See, God has no obligation, no responsibility, no reason whatsoever to hear the prayers of the sinners. And yet, he does. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done. Because of what those sacrifices are pointing to. That has been done. Isaiah 59, verse 1 through 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquity have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." But as we already have seen, the priests have been washed. See, this priest who are burning this incense, he has been washed. And this priest, they have put on the priestly garments and they have made the bloody sacrifice. And now they come to the altar of incense. The picture here is that God now receives the incense with pleasure. Do you understand why and how your prayers are accepted by God? Do you understand why and how you are able to have fellowship with God? What we see here in our chapter, we see our reality. We have been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ and we are clothed with his righteousness. Jesus has offered up himself as the perfect sacrifice once and for all for our sins. Thus now in Jesus Christ, our prayers are accepted by God. Now in Christ, we have perpetual fellowship with God. And that's what burning that incense points to. Perpetual burning of that incense. Perpetual fellowship. God hears your prayer, not because you are so sincere or you put so much effort. I mean, those are important. I'm not saying, you know, just pray without sincerity. But even if you're so sincere and you put all your energy into your prayer, if Jesus did not do what he has done, God will not hear your prayers. But some people think that it's because of what their efforts, that God hears their prayers better than other people's prayer. That is just nonsense. But as you know, Old Testament is typological. Jesus has not come yet and accomplished our eternal heavenly reality yet in the Old Testament. Thus, Old Testament, our passage, shows how it lacks. Picture that you are a priest and you are burning that incense right front of the mercy seat that symbolizes the throne of God. But as you burn the incense, you realize there is this veil in between the altar of incense and the mercy seat. The throne of our God, and where you stand as you burn this incense, there's a veil in between. What does that symbolize? And during this Old Testament time, that veil is open only once a year. The smoke of the incense fills the Holy of Holies only once a year. And Aaron must make atonement on the horns of the altar once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Something better, don't you think, has to come? Yeah. And it came in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the true high priest. He lived the perfect life for us, and he prayed for all of us continually. And even now, he prays for us without ceasing. And his prayer is the true incense, the fragrant aroma reaching to God. Do you remember those two passages in the book of Revelation that we read? The incense in one passage points to the prayer of the saints. And the incense in the other passage points to something that is added to the prayer of the saints. Do you understand? Our prayers are united to the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just our prayer reaching to God. But the picture is that his prayer and our prayer united, that reaches to God. This is the reality. As we pray, brothers and sisters, we are participating in his life of prayer. Our prayers are united to the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, our prayers reach to our God. That is why we have confidence. Because of Christ, we have confidence that God hears our prayers. Now, one other thing I want you to understand here. Go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Verse 46. This is Jesus on the cross. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And if you go down to verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rock were split. Jesus dies at about the ninth hour. Ninth hour is about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Because 0 hour starts at 6 a.m. You know, that's how Jewish time works. So Jesus dies at about ninth hour, and that time the veil of the temple was torn, meaning open permanently. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 3, verse 1, let me read that to you. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. So the ninth hour, and we learn in Matthew, that's when Jesus dies. But ninth hour is the hour of prayer. And ninth hour, like I said, is 3 p.m. today. So Jews at that time pray three times a day. Once at the third hour, meaning 9 a.m. in the morning today. And the time of the, that is the time of the morning sacrifice, 9 a.m. in the morning. So they pray once then. And second time at the ninth hour, 3 p.m. today. And that is the time of evening sacrifice. And soon, as soon as that sacrifice is done, soon after that, the burning offering of incense. So offering of incense happened at around ninth hour. And on that time, Jesus dies. And at that time, the veil is torn in half. And Jews pray for a third time at the sunset. See, this shows us that the time Jesus died is at the ninth hour, which was the time for the evening sacrifice, and soon after that, it was time for offering of incense. Thus, we are able to conclude that when the veil was torn, the priest was standing right in front of it, offering the incense. That's the time. Can you imagine if we could just look at that priest who are doing that? So in Jesus Christ, as we offer up our incense, meaning as we pray, is there anything in between you and God anymore? No. See, that is the picture. In Jesus Christ, there is nothing in between us, God's priests, and God. There is no veil. In Jesus Christ, there is nothing that will hinder our prayers to reach God when you pray in His name, in Jesus' name. Look at what happened in Christ. What Jesus has accomplished for you. See, Old Testament time, the picture is not perfect yet. But God is still gracious to provide a way for His people to come to Him and have fellowship with Him. But only once a year, that veil is open. But in Jesus Christ, that veil is torn permanently. It's open always, forever. So when you have fellowship with God, there's nothing that will hinder. This is the picture. Now then, because what we have seen so far is true, what should be then the content of our prayers? See, only the holy incense is allowed. If you burn a strange incense, then you die. Thank God we're living in the Old Testament, New Testament time. Because if we're still living in the Old Testament time and if we pray and that is a picture of burning that incense and How many times do we burn strange incense? But the salvation that Jesus has accomplished is so perfect that even our sins cannot destroy it. Even our sins cannot cancel what God has accomplished. The holy incense that is set apart from the worldly incense. 9a says, you shall not offer any strange incense on this altar. How can we fill the content of our prayer with worldly greed and selfish gain? Because your prayer goes up to God. I mean, that's why you pray. Why? So that God could hear you. It's the picture is that incense going up, that smoke going up to God. And that incense has to be holy incense. Then we need to ask ourselves, what should we fill our prayers with? The content of our prayers. We cannot fill the content of our prayer with worldly greed and worldly selfish gain. Even though we do so many times. How can we unite that kind of prayer with the holy prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because you also know that your prayer is united to Jesus' prayer. So what are you uniting to Jesus' prayer? These are questions that we must ask ourselves. John chapter 14, verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, Jesus says, I will do it. But what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Simply put, we must pray for things that will not bring shame to that name. We're praying in Jesus' name. That we must pray things that would be worthy of that name. So when you pray, listen to yourself and ask yourself, all these things that I'm praying, is it worthy of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, brothers and sisters, I know we will not be able to do this perfectly because I know you and I will mix all kinds of simple things in our prayers. But it will help us to really think this through. So that our prayers will be that holy incense, not a strange incense. Meaning that our prayers according to His will, that's the holy incense, don't you think? But when we do pray, truly pray in Jesus' name, then we have the confidence that God will hear our prayers because He says so. Let me just read this one verse to you and we'll end with that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Now, when I read this verse, compare what you're hearing with the Old Testament context. the throne of God, the mercy seat, how there are so many obstacles in front of you to get there. And you could only get there once a year. But because of what Jesus Christ has done, this is what we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have confidence to come to God, to that throne of grace, every single time, any time you want. And God will hear you. God will pour out His mercy and grace, and He will help you in time of need. We're so blessed, brothers and sisters. I mean, that is what I want you to see. And you know, you might think, oh man, we've been at this for a long time, you know, how to make this and how to make that. But from all that, you learn about what Christ has accomplished. You learn about your eternal reality, that what is true of you, that what is true of you, man, if the priest of the Old Testament see what you are entitled to, or I shouldn't use that word, right? What you are able to do, how envious will they be to be in your place? You could just go past that veil anytime you want. And you could, not even with fear, but with confidence you could do that. And you come to God, stand in front of God, and you know that He will hear you, that He will bless you. This is what is true of you. You are so precious. Please. Understand. And be glad. Be happy. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh Father, we are truly blessed because we are able to draw near to you anytime with boldness and with confidence, not with fear. And because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, we have perpetual fellowship with you, and you will hear our prayers in His name. Oh Father, these things are things that Old Testament people could just dream of. But they, with faith, knew that one day, the Messiah will come and that He will accomplish eternal heavenly reality in which His people, your people, are able to approach you, come draw near to you anytime with confidence and joy and gladness, always knowing that you will bless your people. Oh Father, we long for that day when all this will be visible for everyone to see. But even before that time, let us enjoy what our Lord has already accomplished for us. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.